How long gone? A chilly but sunny Thursday here in Manhattan. Them jeans, what's really good?
Just finished eating some leftovers from dinner last night for lunch, and I made some strips and cheese. It's for a recipe that comes out on my Substack tomorrow.
Hold on. Before we get to your promotion, I just want to talk about I sent you a story earlier. A woman is in the hospital on her deathbed from eating leftovers. So I just want to make sure you're good. You're not feeling anything, you know, weird in your stomach or maybe your legs. Like, what if your feet go numb? Like, you heated it up correctly. You prepared it correctly because you're a professional, I assume.
No, I do also have botulism. It is weird that you brought that up. Very coincidental.
It's so weird. I didn't really want to talk about it, but
I saw that it was like canned soup or something.
Yeah, it was some sort of soup that wasn't reheated correctly, I believe, and then it caused, you know, dysentery or whatever. I don't know exactly, but the photo on the Daily Mail is like she looks like she just got hit by an 18-wheeler, just like so many tubes coming out, like all these like braces on. You know, it looks probably worse.
Well,
than it
another win for people like you, anti-soup.
Well, it's not. I'm more anti-leftover than anti-soup, if I'm being completely honest. But
I guess I won't call it a win.
No, it's not a win.
This soup eater's peril.
It's not
shan't be celebrated.
It's not. We could never. I don't want to do that to the soup enjoying community. It's just something I personally can't partake in. But I'm happy that other people find it so enjoyable.
So you're more anti-leftovers because then that means the food. When's the last time you ate leftovers?
I mean, I couldn't tell you. I've never taken food from a restaurant. Like, I maybe ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, maybe as a kid, you know? But
like, when you were a kid, your mom would, like, reheat leftovers and you might eat that.
Yeah, but we didn't really eat. Like, we would just hit Chick-fil-A, bro. You know what I mean? We wouldn't really do, we weren't going to Ruby Tuesdays or Applebee's or Chili's, you know? And then I have some leftover steak fajitas, you know, to reheat or anything. It was a little more the 90s in general, I think, were more fast food focused.
Yeah, of course. But you telling me the Black family never went to a sit down restaurant?
Oh, no,
where
we did.
Leftovers could be acquired.
We did. But where do you think I get my tendencies from? You know, my mom probably hates leftovers too. You know, okay. She probably doesn't fuck with that.
And also, your fat ass was a member of the Clean Plate Club as well.
Yeah, I was. Yeah,
no chip left behind. No chip left behind.
No, there ain't no morsels left. You kidding me? Go to Golden Corral on a Sunday. I'm hitting every station. Come on now.
Every station.
Come on, bro. Every station is getting touched.
You know, I'm putting soft serve in the soft serve goes in the hard taco shell.
Yeah, exactly. I'm putting chocolate syrup on top. I don't give a fuck. I'll get some country fried steak with a side of brownies. It's all mixed up.
My strips and cheese in my stomach are starting to do a little bit of a dance and turn the more food combinations that you're naming right now.
I'm sorry. We had something happen earlier today that I wanted to discuss, Jason.
Is this our donkey of the day?
We're not going to name any names, but there was a person on the twitter.com website. A very talented person, I would like to say. Like, I'm a reader.
Mm-hmm.
Posed a question: why does every magazine now have a column by one of the How Long Gone guys?
Mm.
And I just want to go on record and say that I don't understand where these shots are coming from. Is it? Do you think it's jealousy? Do you think it's like? Am I taking? Are we collectively taking money out of this person's mouth?
I think so.
Writing our silly little stories?
I think it may be a situation of like Paris Hilton starts DJing, they're taking our gerb vibe.
Sure.
Well, and he's like, you know,
No, I just want to be very clear. Like, this is a serious writer who does like long reported features for magazines. What I do, and I won't speak for you, is mostly talk about my personal experiences and things that I like or don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like those lanes are pretty different. I'm not spending 6 months on a New York Times Magazine story. I'm spending a few hours on a GQ column, on a strategist column, and then I just did this new thing today about my trash can.
Yeah, I read one of your columns today, and this motherfucker wrote about trash cans.
I literally wrote about trash cans. How can that... I mean, I guess it just comes down to, like, it's all, you know, the industry is crumbling, quote-unquote. So for people like us... to be eating off of it, I guess, frustrates someone who's much more talented than I am.
Yeah.
But I can't. I'm sorry. I don't claim to be a, you know, I don't think I'm a great writer. I think I have a point of view and I think I can get it done.
Mm.
And I think that there's two different approaches to the medium is all I'm saying. Especially in this content-driven society.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get frustrated when they kind of do things with, you know, do things in the style that they should be done, you know, reportage, research,
totally.
Production. You know, these things take time and effort and teams of people. I hear it a lot with our podcast where it's like, yeah, we make 3 episodes a week. We have no team. We do it all of ourselves, and y'all are taking fucking months and years to produce your one ass podcast, and the editing sounds like shit. And it's cool that you tried really hard on it, and you were
yes.
You had a lot of Google Docs open, but like, you know, the world's moving fast, and you gotta kind of get it done.
Yeah,
and
agreed.
Done is better than perfect.
Agreed. I was taken aback.
I understand the frustration.
I was taken aback by this only because we follow each other. So I was like, bro, just tag me if you want to go that hard. If you're gonna say shit like that, you gotta tag me. I think that's only fair
because mm-hmm.
you know I'm gonna see it. It's all very confusing, but I just, you know, I needed to address it because I felt maligned and attacked. This morning,
yeah,
and I felt like it was not justified. I do a lot of stuff that I should be maligned and attacked for. Doing a job is not one of those things, in my opinion.
Yeah, jealousy is a bitch, I guess. And this Alaskan school shooter has got a bad case of it.
Oh God! All right.
I'm
glad we got that off our chest.
In brighter news, I wanted to say happy birthday to friend of the show and magazine Baron Mel Ottenberg. Yeah, here's how you get your stories in a magazine: become friends with people who make magazines. It's a good way to do it. It's a good way to do it. So when it's time to write the story, you're top of mind instead of bottom of mind.
That's a good point. Yeah, happy birthday.
But Mel's. I'm hitting Mel's birthday party tonight, and I'm struggling to figure out what the gift is going to be. It's in a private residence.
Okay.
Deep in the Hollywood Hills.
Sure. Do you have to take a shuttle, or is it a regular? You can Uber or drive.
Mel is obviously too chic to write any bullshit like that on the invitation.
Hey man, look,
if you can't figure it out, you're not invited.
I mean, I agree with you, but I've been to several events that require I never take it, but they almost demand that you do. And then I have to remind myself that the only reason I'm sober is so I can drive at night. And I'm not going to give that up because the roads are twisty and turny. You know, that's not what
I'll be hitting the lift. I'll be hitting the lift.
Gift is, I mean, you don't have much time. I guess you do.
Yeah, Carolyn suggested a fresh boutonniere for his jacket coat this evening.
I don't think I would buy a stylist an accessory. That's just me personally.
Okay, what about this one? Maybe like 4 very chic pieces of expensive chocolate.
Yeah, that's nice, especially because he's sober, so you know he likes dessert.
Mm.
That's nice.
Or maybe a Coca-Cola gift card. Just hit him with a gift card.
I mean, a gift card for the right amount. I'm not mad. I don't find it impersonal. I find it practical, actually.
I agree. Well, we have looks like we have our guest here, by the way, Chris.
All right. Well, we do have a guest today. One of Jason's hometown heroes,
Jacob Knoll,
is joining us. He's got a new record out on Epitaph. He's also touring right now, singing in Sublime. They just did Coachella. They're doing some more festivals this year, but you know, we really just want to talk about Long Beach, basically. And I think, you know, you, Jason, you and him can go kind of nose to nose on all the hot spots. I hope
toes to nose.
That's what our listeners want. And I also, I know that Jacob's in the gym. He's getting big, and I have a lot to ask him about that.
All right. 2 sober bulldogs, 1 cage. Let's see who survives.
Let's do it. Hey there, overwhelmed foodies. Are you drowning in a sea of meal kit options, feeling like you're in a bad dating game where every contestant looks the same? Fear not, because amidst the chaos, there's one shining star worth your culinary affection. Home Chef is not just another fish in the meal kit sea. They're the gourmet catch that you've been dreaming of. Say goodbye to swiping left on lackluster meals and swipe right for the one brand that will make your taste buds swoon.
Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef design recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, I like to chop myself, or quick microwave meals that are assembled in minutes, Home Chef has you and your entire family covered for delicious meals, 30 options per week, and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. I'm keto now. Not only is it convenient, but it is also economical. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Mamma mia.
For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners, our listeners, 18 free meals plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/howlong. That's homechef.com/howlong for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. homechef.com/howlong. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert. How Long Gone is brought to you by Nutrafol. As you know, hair thinning is quite complicated. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health. And internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and most importantly, grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair.
Go ahead, give it a tug. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth suppy, with over 1 million people seeking thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with considerably less shedding. Thank God. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair for a limited time. Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code How long? All one word. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists and professional stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol. I got Raf on the nut.com promo code How long? That's Nutrafol.com promo code How long?
Jacob, it looks like you're working with some exposed beams there. Am I wrong to say that in the household?
No exposed beams here, my friend. No, it is completed.
Okay, it's completed.
It might have looked like it up there, but I've had this place for a couple years now. It was under construction for a while though.
Did you renovate it to your specifications?
I did, yeah. Preacher, come on, move back, buddy. My cat always wants to come kick it outside with me when I smoke a cigarette. Shut up there, buddy. Yeah.
What did you say your cat's name was, Jacob?
Well, I have two hairless cats. They're Sphinx cats. My male's name is Creature, and my female's name is Fluffy.
Okay. So, what makes you a hairless cat guy? Because that's a specific vibe you're going for.
Yeah. I just like weird things, man. They're very weird little creatures, and I love them very much.
Okay. What other weird shit are we getting into? Fucked up foods?
I think foods, TV shows, interests. I mean, even the life of being a sober person, I think is pretty weird in and of itself when you think about it.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I mean, you're smoking a hand-rolled cigarette, so that I know that you're committed. Is that something that you do?
My camera was off.
No, I saw you when you turned the camera on. I saw it, and I know because you're sober, it wasn't weed, so it was a pretty quick thing for me to understand. You know what I mean? But I just, there's so much effort involved in that. But when you get good at it, does it just feel like second nature?
It's like second nature. I do it so quick now, and like, yeah, it's so funny because I was off of all nicotine products for 3 years during this stretch of sobriety, and I somehow picked it back up, man.
It's all good. At least smoking is cool.
Yeah, exactly, right. It was very premeditated too. Like, I talked about it with my sponsor for months, and I talked about it with my friends. I'm like, guys, remember smoking? Remember that? Like, that was so great. I feel like I really turned my back. I feel like smoking got me through a lot of hard times. Yeah,
you felt like you had neglected an old friend.
Yeah, exactly right, man. Yeah.
It's an essential part of your meditation practice now, and I think that's really brave.
It is. Very essential.
Exactly. I think that, yeah, I like you kind of soft launching the idea with your friends and your sponsor, just kind of building up confidence before you finally pull the trigger.
Exactly. And by the way, no one supported it at all.
No, I know. I had a feeling. I mean,
but I did build it up though.
I mean, it's better than showing up with a vape, yeah. You know, I feel like it's still a win.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I don't vape. I honestly, when I'm at home, it's funny. I don't smoke a lot, but out at shows, it's sort of like my thing. Like I smoke way too much when I'm actually out, you know, needing to use my voice.
When you need it the most, you're abusing those vocal cords. That's a common singer thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Have you got to the point where you are smoking while performing on stage?
I have done that at times. I try not to. Okay. But if it's an outdoor...
Yeah, when it's outdoor. When I was watching the Coachella feed, yeah. It looked like other people in the band were smoking during the performance, and I was like, it's pretty cool looking. But it might be a little much.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm still getting used to the songs, so I'm like, okay, just perform them well right now.
Yeah, yeah, and, you're focused.
But yeah, my uncles are wild.
I mean, I think that when a singer is smoking and singing and playing guitar at the same time, it feels like we're teetering on the edge here, you know? Things could go wrong quick.
Oh yeah.
There's too many balls on the balls in the air with that. And it's a thing you see.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand the breath work. Like I don't understand how you can hold a cigarette in your mouth and sing and like blow the smoke out of your nose. It's just I don't think I'm built for it.
You're not.
Oh no, I know, definitely. I can smoke during like maybe a guitar solo or something like that, but I feel like Tom Waits probably smoked while he sang, right? He sounded like he did.
Oh hell yeah. No, there's plenty of people, but it's guys you know what it is? It's guys who like sit down. So they can put the cigarette in the string of the guitar, you know, at the near the head, and really get it going, which is a cool look. Yeah. But it feels kind of 80s to me.
I feel like Tom Waits. He sang while he smoked instead of smoking while he was singing. I think the smoke
was just
good point.
That's a good way to put it. But it does, yeah. I mean, it does look cool. It does look cool. So are you just home chilling right now, or do you have more shows coming up?
Yeah, I'm home chilling for today, but tomorrow I hop on a plane for Florida, and Sublime is playing a festival out there.
Sick. So you're hitting all the spots. Do you know what part of Florida you're going to?
Yes, Orlando.
Okay, that's one of the worst parts. So I'm praying for you on that level. I'm praying for you on that level. But I imagine you're in and out. You're not going to Disney World. You're not staying at the Marriott on the Disney campus.
Yeah, definitely not doing all that stuff. yeah, it's funny, man. Florida is the state I've been to the most on tour for some reason. It's just worked out that way. Like I've been out of all the states besides the one I live in, Florida's the one I've been to the most. And every time I go, it grows on me.
Me too.
I'm with you. I'm a Florida apologist. But what are your highlights?
My highlights, sleeping on my friend's floor in Sarasota.
Okay. Okay. All right. That's not what I was looking for, but sure. So Sarasota's up there. Yeah.
Do you think that on this festival date, they might hook you up with a hotel room to sleep on tonight?
They have hooked us up. I'm going to be sleeping on the floor of a hotel. Well, I guess I could sleep in the bed of the hotel room, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, you could make some changes, get off the floor.
I could, but you know, that wouldn't feel like tour.
Are you a floor guy? Are you a floor lover? My brother, he just loves a floor.
Yeah, I do really well on floors and couches, man. You know, I've been playing shows for the last 10 years in and out of different bands and stuff, and I still like it. It's been such a weird shift going from my bands to doing the Sublime stuff. They're like, what do you want in your rider? I'm like, I don't know, energy drinks, a bottle of water.
You're like, what's a rider?
Yeah, like, what even is that? Is the promoter even going to get it for us?
Well, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't. Like, and that's the beauty of that gamble. I think you don't seem like you're going to ask for anything crazy. So I'm sure you're very reasonable. A couple Red Bulls.
Exactly. Exactly. I've been on the Celsius lately. That's shout out to Celsius.
What flavor are we talking about, bro?
Oh, dude, the watermelon flavor.
Okay.
There's an amazing watermelon.
And do you use this with the gym flow as well, or is just like your instead of coffee kind of vibe?
I was gonna say, yeah, that's a good transition to gym talk because yeah, it's definitely my pre-workout of choice.
Okay.
I definitely have a Celsius right before the gym.
Okay, but do you have coffee in the morning, or are you pounding? How many Celsius can you handle in one day?
I can handle three in a day.
Oh shit,
damn, bro.
Okay, all right. So- So morning, noon.
Depending on how long the day is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sure, sure, sure. So you're hitting one in the morning and then maybe one in the... When do you work out, though? Are you a morning guy or an evening guy?
I'm a morning workout guy, but my mornings these days are more like... I'm more like wake up at the crack of noon, the break of noon.
Okay, so you're in the gym at 2 o'clock kind of vibe.
Exactly right. Yeah, I wake up, kind of get my day started, and then I drive, I go grab my Celsius and my water, and then I like to sort of just drink it in front of the gym and chill there, and then I force myself to go in. Sure, and sure. And after the gym, I have my first meal.
Okay.
And no, where exactly do you live again, Jacob? I know you're in.
Oh yeah, Long Beach, California, right on that border, the borderlands betwixt the Los Angeles and Orange County.
Okay.
Kingdoms.
So you are still living in Long Beach. You have not moved to Newport or anything like that.
Yeah, no, I'm here, man. I'm firmly rooted. I love Long Beach. After you know, everywhere I've been in this country, this is still my favorite town. I think part of that's the familiarity of it, but mm-hmm. I just love it here so much.
Well, I personally, I grew up in Huntington, so I've spent a lot of time in Long Beach, and my wife's parents live right kind of in the little bay over there where they like do the rowing through the channels over there.
Oh, totally.
Maybe you guys are neighbors.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, so you hit the gym. Are you like a Equinox kind of bro, or are you hitting maybe a little bit more of a utilitarian spot?
You know, it's really funny. I go to this gym called Iconics here in Long Beach, and I love it very much. There's lots of great people that go there, but I think they're definitely trying to steal a little bit of that Equinox vibe. It's spelled with an X like Equinox, and it's like wood panels on the walls and stuff. I think they're really trying to go for that.
Iconics.
It's an independent venture.
Correct, yeah, but I think they're about to open up a second location in Los Angeles.
Okay. Iconics does kind of sound like the name of a bong company, though, which is less Equinox-y and more Long Beachy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. It still fits in perfectly. It's right by a Chuck's coffee shop, the best diner in America, man.
Really?
Eat at Chuck's.
Okay.
What's the vibe of the gym? Is it like bodybuilder bros? Is it like hot chicks? Like what is the vibe? Is it a mix?
I would say, yeah, all my friends are like, oh, you go to the hot person gym. We definitely have our fair share of like, oh, there's a very attractive person working out and they have their phone filming it. Like they must be an influencer or something. Uh-huh.
Sure.
But I would say, yes, you know, it's also a good mix of just like locals around here, you know.
Local hard bodies.
Of all ages.
Yeah. Independent gyms are the best because it's just, it's such a wild card. I love it. Equinox is the same everywhere you go. Like the crowd and the layout, you know what I mean? Like the equipment and the crowd are kind of the same no matter where you are. Yeah. And it's always fun to dip into an independent gym and see the real freaks getting it in.
Oh, yeah. When I'm on tour, that's what I do. I don't have a like Planet Fitness membership or anything like that. I like to just, you know, wherever we're staying, I just look up online whatever the local small gym is and I go there. And usually if I chat up the owner's niece or nephew working at the front desk, and I'm just like, hey, I'm on tour. And they're like, oh, dude, well, just go on in. You're only here for the day. Screw it.
Yeah. No, dude, I do the same thing. I do the same exact thing.
Right.
And I think that you're absolutely right. It's like completely lawless if you're just like nice.
Totally. Yeah, that's the way to do it for sure.
You got a couple Celsius. You want an extra watermelon? I got one for you. Hey, man.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like, good. Yeah, I bought a couple extras here. Go ahead and have one.
It was two for one at 7-Eleven, but we don't have to talk about that. You know?
Okay, so how does the cardio work out with the cigarette action? Are you skipping the cardio, just weightlifting, or are we just powering through? Do we have a new kind of cardio that we've invented?
Ooh, yeah. Yep. I'm caught in 4K right now. I do not do cardio at the gym. I haven't in many moons. That's bad of me. But I justify it in my head because I'm like, well, I'm going to be on stage for an hour every day. That's a lot of sweating. I jump around a lot. So, you know, lugging gear around.
I mean, honestly, that's a legitimate justification.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah, you know,
1,000% true.
But I feel like did you have to get prepped like physically for these shows just because it's like a new thing, obviously beyond, you know, the music side of it, but like physically?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, bodybuilding is definitely my, you know, little amateur hobby. You know, I'm not like insanely jacked by any measurements, but I really do enjoy the, you know, the science behind it and all the nerdy, I nerd out and all the stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was trying to go on this, like, okay, I'm going to go on a super cut before this show, I'm going to cut down. And I got down to like, I think like 8% body fat.
Coachella diet.
But yeah, exactly. And then I was like,
it was pretty good.
Whoa. But I thought it looked pretty good up there on stage. But at the end of the day, I'm like, not going to be a super crazy freak about it. I was like, if I want to eat a fucking donut because I'm feeling nervous for a set, I'm going
to
have a donut.
Yeah. No, that's a good way to be. That's a good way to be. But I like the 8% body fat. Mm-hmm. You know, Coachella's a shirt off environment. You know, so you were doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. You were doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. Your head was in the right place.
100%.
Yeah, I feel like you are more of a shirt off than a shirt on just through the regular kind of day to day activities. Is that fair to say?
Oh yeah, man. If I could have my shirt off just going to the bank, I would totally.
How often this comes up? How often do you drive shirtless?
I would say any chance that I can get.
Okay.
You never know when you're going to. I'm usually shirtless, board shorts. Like, mm-hmm. Usually there's a body of water I'm going to jump in.
Okay. So you're living the Southern California dream. You really are.
100%, man. It's a gift. It's a fucking blessing. Oh,
you sound like Jason. Jason's the only person I've ever heard talk about California like this. This is nice that you guys have found each other.
Yes.
Not everyone knows how to do it the right way. That's the thing.
This is the right way. 100%.
What's up at this diner that's next door to the gym? You just like the vibe or is the food good?
Oh, both, man. Yeah. Chuck's Coffee Shop, man. It is the Long Beach State. It's been here for decades. I actually grew up there. Like, they would take me there and I'd be in the carrier as a baby on the table, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Going there my whole life.
Okay. Damn. Okay, so what are you getting there? Is it like a steak and eggs? Is it like pancakes?
I do get the steak and eggs there. Yeah, it's very like, I don't know, it's one of those like old school, you know, beachy Americana diners. But kind of one of those places you can imagine, like Hunter S. Thompson would go if he was in Long Beach. Sure. No, you can go there. And-
okay.
Yeah. When Hunter S. Thompson visited Long Beach, I like that. That's a fun thing to think about.
It's what I'd imagine. Yeah, that's where I'd imagine he would go. You know, it's like you can get, you know, there's like some south of the border options, but you know, most people get their famous thing that they're really good for there is like, what do you call it? It's called the weasel, and it's a scrambled eggs with chili on top.
Oh shit. No. Oh my God. That sounds awful.
That says it all.
No. Well, I mean,
damn, this is so.
When I ever have people from out of town go there, they're like, what? You actually eat this? But to me, it's like the best thing ever.
my wife's family, they're loyal to a coffee cup in Long Beach. But I got to say, this is sounding a little bit better.
Yeah, coffee cup's good too.
Coffee cup's good too. But the weasel, I'm sniffing around for the weasel.
The weasel's a very cool name, a very, very cool name for a dish of food. But Jason, have you ever seen chili on eggs before? Is that's new to me. I've never heard or seen it that.
So good.
I don't think I've seen just scrambled eggs with chili on it, but it seems like a protein waterfall.
Yes.
In and out.
It's a good place to get your protein after your workout at Iconic. You head right over to Chuck's.
Okay, Jacob, how many grams of protein are going into the temple every day? You said you nerd out about this shit, so I know you have a number.
I do. I'm all big on my macros and stuff. Well, I'm about, they say like, you know, 1 gram per a pound of body weight. I'm like 175 right now. So I try to get 180 grams of protein in a day, but I'd say I hover anywhere between 150 to 200.
It's pretty good, man.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do that much protein.
But that requires like effort though. Like you're thinking about it.
Yes, I am. 100%, man. I also do intermittent fasting as part of my diet, so that helps cut out some calories.
How deep do you go with the kind of bro science stuff? Are you slonking eggs? Are you going raw? Are you doing, you know, beef liver and dehydrated blood and shit, you know?
Dude, you know, I'm privy to all of it, but at the same time, I try to still eat the things that I like to eat. So at the very least, every day, I just try to approximate how many calories I'm getting in. I try to stay conscious of sugars and carbs and that sort of thing. And then protein is basically the main macro that I focus on. But I haven't done any like, you know, raw stuff or eating organs or whatnot. Like,
yeah.
Pretty sure that's how kings of old would get gout and stuff like that. I don't think you're supposed to eat raw organs.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Gout would be bad for you.
Kings of old get gout. I like that.
I'm pretty sure they would. They'd get the, you know, they'd have their nice cane they'd walk around with, and a club foot and gout. And
yeah, no, that's absolutely
like Lord Byron or something.
Absolutely what they did.
Lord Byron eating 11 duck livers a day.
It'll catch up with you.
Him and Mary Shelley, they're just sitting there talking about Frankenstein, hobbling around like, nah, man, I got places to be.
So, Jacob, are you also like a bit of a historian? I was reading an interview, and you were you brought up some Greek mythology in relation to you kissing your mom in a potential movie. And I was like, oh, Jacob is very well spoken for a Long Beach bro. I love to see it.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely, you know, I owe my grandparents to that. You know, they're very worldly folks.
Okay.
My grandpa was a sailor, and that kind of runs in the family and stuff. And yeah, when I went to school, I studied creative writing. There's definitely history that comes along with that. And I had a focus on like mythology, and I always wanted to go into TV writing. And so that's still a maybe for the future, but all subjects fascinate me. History definitely is a big one.
I mean, all my Long Beach bros, you know, they studied the fine art of longshoremanism. So it's beautiful to see all this going down. What about the TV script writing? Do you have any tidbits you want to share? Any meetings you want us to set up for you?
Yes, please, all of them, man. Like I, you know. I definitely still write in my spare time. And one of my managers, Joe Escalante, is big in the TV and film world and that sort of thing. So he's been sort of helping guide my path. And it's definitely like just my own life journey has been kind of an interesting story just from the objective, you know, an outsider standpoint. So I think there's lots of sort of classic parallels you can look at. And I draw from that in the writing of my own music for Jacob's Castle. It definitely comes out a lot. We just put out a new record, Enter the Castle. Everybody, please go check it out.
Enter the Castle is a really sick name, I have to say.
Thank you so much.
I like that. It's kind of dramatic, you know, but it's also commanding, I would say.
Yeah. It's sort of like an imperative, too. It's like, enter the castle.
Yes, exactly. It's a command. Yes, it's a command to the listener.
What exactly is the castle to you, Jacob?
Yeah, it's a big collaborative effort. You know what I mean? Like, I always wanted to have the impression that, you know, it's the people's castle. The castle is for you. You know, everybody gets to be a part of it, involved. And it's supposed to be a big, just messy mess of different things that have inspired me since I was a little kid. You know, it's all sort of like the weirder side of Southern California culture that I feel like I experienced a lot growing up, staying indoors a lot, but also going outdoors a lot. Like I was a little bit of both. I like to hike around in the canyons behind my house in Pacific Beach growing up as a little kid. And I also like to play video games, go on in the internet a lot as a little kid. So there's so much different parts of that, you know, influenced and informed each other. And I like to experiment with that and explore it in my music a lot. So the castle is a high weirdness, but it's also palatable at the same time. I'm doing my job right, then, you know.
You're like,
that it can be radio friendly.
You're like, I would like people to listen to this shit, so it's not too crazy. Just to be clear, it's not too crazy.
Yeah.
I
the name of the game is it's infiltration. You know, it's all about infiltration. Like, it's like, oh, here's a palatable pop radio song, but then the people who can get the references are like, what the hell did he reference this weird thing that only 10 people would know about? Like, I think that stuff really shows like your love for what you do.
Yeah, no, for sure. An Easter egg.
Easter eggs.
Who else do you think does a good job at that?
Of just like blending together a bunch of weird influences.
Well, specifically when you said like songs that could reach, you know, popularity, you know, widespread popularity, but also have a more of a deeper message, maybe like Nine Inch Nails, Rage Against the Machine, stuff like that.
Oh, Nine Inch Nails is definitely a big influence, but I was thinking Kate Bush.
How Long Gone is brought to you by our dear friends at BetterHelp, Jason.
BetterHelp, you know, the summer travel season is coming up. Luckily, my BetterHelp therapist also fancies themselves a bit of a travel agent. So for maybe the first half of our suite sessions, we were spent off, obviously off clock, going through, you know, hotels, ferries, car rentals, restaurant recommendations. It's as if I have two wives. I have two wives inside of me. And
Sure.
Yeah, so it is a fun way to find and connect different therapists. You get one that you really like. You guys are gossiping. You guys are chit-chatting. You guys are talking about your personal interests. Next thing you know, it's time to actually do the work. So it feels good building those mental health relationships with people you actually like. And on BetterHelp, there are so many different therapists to choose from.
I don't like anyone. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/howlong today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/howlong.
Nice.
How Long Gone is brought to you by Nutrafol. As you know, hair thinning is quite complicated. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health. And internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and most importantly, grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair.
Go ahead, give it a tug. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth suppy, with over 1 million people seeking thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with considerably less shedding. Thank God. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair for a limited time. Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code How Long, all one word. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists and professional stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol. I got Raf on the nut.com promo code How Long. That's Nutrafol.com promo code How Long. Korea World is a new cookbook written by Dookie Hong and friend of the show Matt Rodbard. The New York Times best-selling authors of the book Koreatown.
Korea World is a vibrant exploration of the evolution of Korean cuisine, both in Korea and in Korea towns across the United States, with more than 75 bold, flavor-packed recipes and stunning photography.
The authors take an inside look at the exciting evolution of Korean food through stories of chefs, home cooks, as well as recipes that are shaping modern Korean cuisine.
The book begins in Seoul, where the barbecue scene is pushing into new territory and where the city's third wave coffee culture is exploding.
The tour continues with late night food adventures in Los Angeles, my hometown, and stops into the kitchens of innovative chefs from New York City to Portland, who are putting modern spins on Korean classics.
Recipes include giant short ribs, whole fried smash rockfish, and pineapple kimchi fried rice.
I'm sad I didn't get to name the foods and you did. Korea World is essential reading for anyone curious about the future of food.
Available wherever books are sold.
Okay.
Let's go.
That's cooler, but let me tell you the ultimate example, and it's unfortunately Third Eye Blind.
Oh,
it's Third Eye Blind because that song is about meth. Yeah. That song's about meth. And it was the biggest song in the world, and no one really knew.
Yeah, they're
you
big
know,
hit.
Like most people listening
Can
to
you
it.
Say it's an Easter egg when the song literally says the words crystal meth?
Do they say it in the song?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You sure?
Doesn't he say doing crystal meth lift you up?
Until you break, he won't stop. It might, I think so, but it could be, but I always found that I've just like seen a lot of people be like, I had no idea that's what that song was about. You know what I mean? But you're right, Jason. It's if it's in the song, then
no, but you're also right as well. It was a song that, you know, 8 year olds all over the world were but also, you know, if you've done meth, you kind of run around saying doot doot doot.
Yeah, actually is.
There are some you take a stereo true. Apart.
That is a really good example. I love stuff that's subversive in that way, where it's like, oh, here's such a happy song, but it has a double meaning, and there's another. And I think from that era of music, there were so many bands doing stuff like that, like Tool with Stink Fist,
mm-hmm.
or there was that song "I'm Going to Disneyland," but what were those guys called? But it's funny that there's the "I'm going to Disneyland," and it sounds all like happy and good. But like Disneyland was a slang term for like the Orange County Jail.
Oh, wow. Okay, that band is called Dada?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, you know, you remember.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I just looked it up. Wow, this Jacob, this spelling.
Yeah, I think they had to do song that. Is they probably had to do that so that it
Yeah, they definitely did. They definitely did, but it's D-I-Z-Z. K-N-E-E-L-A-N-D. That's really fun. That's really fun. I've never heard of this song. Is this some like...
Yeah, Jacob, how do you know about this song released in 1992 that neither of us have ever heard of before?
Dude, it was on the radio. It was, you got to listen to it. It's so funny, man. I don't know. How do I
On the radio
this?
Before you were born, bro?
Before I was born,
Was it like K-Rock shit? Or was it like more local than that?
Oh, totally.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, totally. No, this song... This song had its bust, you know. I think it was probably their only hit, but it just reminded me of that Third Eye Blind sound and that whole 90s era where they're sort of like almost like not taking yourself too seriously, but still somehow making really good sounding palatable music. Like that's so the goal for me these days. And even Sublime did that a lot too, you know.
Yeah,
I just share that
saying,
like
Sublime
you know,
a lot.
DIY spirit. And what a great example of Southern California music. There we go.
Yes, sure.
I just ran away from home. Now I'm going to Disneyland. I just crashed my car again. Now I'm going to Disneyland. I just robbed a grocery store.
There is such a rich history and like Long Beach is such an interesting place. Cause like, I think that there's several kind of artists that span different genres from there that have been quite successful. And I think it's, you know, I think it has something to do with the lifestyle that you can live there.
I agree. You know, there's all sorts of stuff happening here. It really is a big melting pot of not only cultures and ideas, but also just interests. You know, there's so many like, driving up and down Long Beach, you'll see people doing everything. You'll drive by, you know, Second Street, and there's, you know, all these different restaurants. And then you go up, you're going up Ocean, and you see like the oil rigs out there. And then there's, you know, people grilling out on the grass. And then you get to, you know, the park, and there's people doing yoga on the bluffs. And there's just like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of butts pointing towards the sun. And then you're downtown, and there's like a convention center, and there's nerds and cosplay outfits and anime fiends just like me. And like, it's just, and then even past that, now there's gyms and there's fuck, you know, Gold Gyms bros. And like, there's all these interests here. It's so cool.
No, you're right. I mean, honestly, that's a pretty, you just described a real range. Yeah, I have to say, I wasn't even, I have to say you covered a lot of ground there in one quick drive. You know, you covered
it's
a lot.
It's all
of
here, man.
Yeah. If the Sublime thing and your solo music does not work out, you know, you've got a job at the Long Beach City Council or Board of Tourism at the very least.
Exactly.
You know, you're a great spokesperson.
I am, man. Thank
you
very much. My real goal, overarching goal, is to go into politics. So I think I'll start there, you know, city councilman. And,
oh,
is that right?
What kind of politics are we talking about?
My great-grandfather, Louis Knoll, was a city councilman. Well, my idea is to, you know, eventually become the governor of California, and then California will secede from the rest of the country, and we'll just become our own super dope country, and we'll create like a giant trench around California and the rest of the country. And
I honestly, your campaign slogan could be "Make California Super Dope," and I think that would
you have to take like a super chill test if you want to immigrate here. It's like, all right, are you chill or are you not chill?
How much of a chiller are you exactly? And then we'll
see. Yeah, exactly. There'll be like these chill officers, and they're not going to be heavily armed or anything. They're more just like, you know, there to check if you're chill or not.
Damn, this sounds like paradise to me. This sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
These officers, they're here. They're only here to see if your avocados are ripe enough. That's the only thing they're working with.
They're not looking for anything else. Everybody relax. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, exactly. This is the California dream at its finest. It's all part of my like 50-year plan here.
I think that honestly, like local government could work for you. We joked about Jason getting into local government in Glendale, you know, where he lives, like in LA.
Right.
But I think you have a little more goodwill in the community than he does. You know what I mean? As far as Long Beach, you've been putting on for your city for quite a long time, so they might be sympathetic to your cause.
Well, yeah, and all jokes aside, it is truly possible. It's an area that I believe in a lot, you know, all of California, but, you know, specifically Southern California and Long Beach. I believe in this place a lot, and Sublime itself has been such a symbol for the community. And it's been a big part of my family for a while. Like I said, my great grandfather, Louie Knoll, ran for city council. And then his son, my grandpa, Jim Knoll, was a contractor. He built like half the buildings in Belmont Shore. And then my dad, you know, was kind of this, you know, cultural, you know, musical icon for the local scene. And I find myself in a unique position now in my late 20s to have my hand in a lot of different, my irons in a lot of different furnaces. So
I just
want to keep doing stuff in multiple different media.
This is so cool, man.
Building myself up. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, whenever you see people running for office, they'll use songs from other bands, and then the bands will get pissed off that, you know, Trump is using this YMCA song, or you can't use that Fleetwood Mac song for your, you know, Republican candidate or whatever. You already have catalogs of music that you're able to use. You know, it's already in your own name. I can just see the little signs that you're going to put up on all the people's front lawns. I am Jacob Knoll. I am qualified to represent the LBC. I am running for city council for your...
Councilman Knoll is qualified to represent the... And then the song. It's so have a wonderful summertime with Councilman Knoll's campaign for governor.
Yeah, no, it's all written in the
living is easy.
It's written in the stars. This might be your destiny. This music thing, it might be secondary. Honestly, this is destiny.
That's kind of what I tell people. You know, like when people are like, "Oh man, you play Coachella," I feel like that's it, and I'm like, "No, this really feels like the beginning." Like whether it is, you know, local politics or just creating more art in movies or TV shows or whatever, I find this to be just like the beginning to like revitalize the brand of Sublime and get it into the public conscious in a big way again. I think it's such a great springboard to do so many more amazing things as well. Very excited.
No, I think you should look at it. I think you should look at it like that. You're 28 years old. You know what I'm saying? You have a lot of life ahead of you. I think if Coachella was the peak,
right,
then we got a problem. You know what I'm saying? If we Coachella is the peak, we got a problem.
No, it's true. I feel bad for artists that make it, you know, the boy genius or the girl genius artists that are just so like Billie Eilish won like 6 Grammys when she was like 10 years old or something.
I know what you mean. Like,
where do you go from there? But I'm sure even then, you know, maybe they should go into politics.
I think that Billie Eilish could win anything she wanted. That's what I would say. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I think when you have success that young, it is kind of like, I mean, I think that's why a lot of people get so into drugs, honestly, is because it's like, what, I have nothing else to kind of accomplish.
You
feel almost unmoored.
There's this great quote from a show that I loved growing up. It's called Metalocalypse, and it was on Adult Swim, and it's like, The premise is that there's this metal band called Death Clock, and they're just the most, you know, ubiquitous, famous, you know, trillionaire band in the world. So they can kind of do anything. And so each episode's really short, and the premise is they can kind of just do whatever they want with their crazy, you know, fame and wealth and fortune. So one of the episodes, like, they're going to, you know, try to start a record label and have this up and coming band, and they're helping them out, and they get in the studio, and then all the bandmates they're trying to help out are all throwing up on the ground. And they're like, yeah, these guys have really bad heroin problems. They're like, guys, you're supposed to get famous first and then get addicted to drugs. Come on, man, you got it all backwards.
And it's so pathetic
because there's, and there's so many people who get that part backwards. You know, I had to kind of lick my drug problem first. I mean, I'm 7 years sober now. I was really unable to get anything done as a kid. I was
7 years. I mean,
in the toiling and obscurity for you,
but that's young, dude. I mean, I know, I'm sure you started young, so you
finished
finish young.
I did.
And I've seen that a similar thing happen to some other people, you know, like you start at 12, 13, and then by the time you're 20, 21, you're either like, I'm done with this shit, or you're like hitting rock bottom. You know what I mean? One or the other.
I completely agree, man. You know, and I'm glad I got it out the way that I did. And I never disparage anybody's, you know, personal paths. You know, I think that
drugs and alcohol are still a great tool, and they're important to human existence. You know, the fact that you can take something that makes you feel different is pretty important to human beings. It's pretty intense and trippy. And
That's a good point. When you put it that way, I you're absolutely right. It is. I feel the same because I've been sober for like 8 years, and I feel the same exact way. It's like I don't think of it negative. Like, I don't think of drugs and alcohol negatively. You know what I mean? It's just like, not for me. It didn't work for me.
No, 100%, man. And it's harm reduction and awareness and raising that kind of stuff. It's going to be something that's always going to be here, but it doesn't need to be the problem that it is with the right tools. And a big part of what I do is always outlined by the fact that I'm the spokesperson for the Knoll Family Foundation, a foundation my family started to create events and raise awareness about the opioid crisis in relation to musicians and in the country, especially here in California. And we opened up our first treatment facility, Bradley's House, where we have the nonprofit, and we try to raise money to give, you know, musicians that might not have the necessary means to get themselves their own treatment. And we have like a, you know, a recording facility in the house itself. So like, you know, all the gnarliness of their journey can be captured and turned into art. And that sort of becomes like that silver lining. So we have an event on May 11th coming up soon, a big fundraiser in Oceanside, actually.
Nice.
Yeah. Got a bunch of amazing musicians are going to be performing.
This is like a physical house like you come live in.
Yeah. It's like a sober living. Correct.
Okay. Sober living. All right. I just wanted to understand exactly. And there's a studio.
Yeah, correct.
So there's a studio. And then if somebody is like, hey, I just, you know, I'm going through a lot. There's a lot of gold here. I can turn it into a song, get my feelings out. And then how much of a percentage do the Knoll House take on those album sales?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. We take we have a 50%.
Any points on the back end?
50%. Yeah. And then with a 3-year sunset. And then
yeah. That's good business. See, you're about your business. That's smart. That's very smart.
Yeah. All business oriented. And just kidding, potential people listening. It is all yours to keep.
Of course.
No, bro, I'm playing. We give you all that shit.
I'm very dry with my sarcasm.
So where we like it.
Exactly right.
Jacob, I wanted to ask about your not wearing shoes on stage when you played Coachella.
Yeah, people point that out.
Do you have any philosophy behind going shoeless?
Yeah, I definitely do. It's hard to operate the pedals with shoes on, man. I need to use my toes to click the little buttons down there to make the guitar sound funny.
Okay.
Simple as that.
I got to use my toes to make the guitar sound funny. I really like that's it. That's 100% great reason for what you're doing.
Yeah, I bought all these little metal boxes and I click them together with the little wires from Guitar Center. And yeah, man, you got to click them with your toes. And also, it's freeing.
Yeah, it's freeing for sure.
Very freeing to jump around with your shoes off. Very freeing.
Yeah, I mean, how technical are you? Like, how tech savvy are you? Are you like a gearhead, like in the lab, or are you more of like I can play the bones and I like to play live?
I'm definitely probably more on the side of the live player, performer, entertainer, but tell you, I've become more of a gearhead in the last few years as well. Like, I know the sound, you know, when I hear a sound that like, oh, that's what I want, I know how to catch it and emulate it. And I know the ins and out of all the gear that I need for my personal sounds that I like. And I geek out about that for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm skilled with Ableton, and, you know, I make my own demos at home. But that being said, I would never want to self-produce entirely one of my own records, just because something about the collaborative process and having someone who's just, that's their life's goal is to be a good engineer and producer. Like, they have the ears for that. My ears aren't as good as some producers, and I always need that second opinion.
That's very smart.
Bring them over to the castle, bro. Bring them into the castle.
Yeah, yes.
You guys just come over to the castle. We'll figure this shit out. We'll get it done.
Yes, all are welcome in the castle. Join us.
So when you knew these songs, but you had to relearn them, I imagine. So was it like weeks of rehearsal, or were you kind of alone in the lab, like listening to it on the headphones, playing along?
Actually, I didn't know a lot of these songs. I mean, I know the ones that my mama played for me when I was little, and I knew the hits, obviously. But a lot of people think like, well, wouldn't Jake just obviously know these songs, or he had 10 years to learn them? Why doesn't he just know them inside and out? And it's like, people don't realize, like, you know, if you have any like dead family members, you just like stare at their photo every day for 10 years. Like, it's weird. Like, listening to music of a deceased family member is like very emotionally charged. Like, I couldn't listen to if a Sublime song came on when I was outside, it would be a tearjerker. I'd have to go like, excuse myself and go like tear up a little bit in my car. 'Cause it's just,
Yeah.
It's heavy. And the material itself is very heavy. And hearing that voice, it's like so specific. So
yeah,
I had to learn all these songs very fresh over the course of like the last month or so. And so I think we were able to give a really solid, entertaining performance for the people at Coachella. But there was some people listening at home who maybe were skeptical about, you know, the veracity of our claims and what we were able to get done. But I think the more that we jam together as a band, it's just going to get tighter and tighter. We're going to have more fun. And Sublime was always kind of this like living, breathing, chaotic machine. And I just feel really proud to get to be the front man. You know, I never feel like it's my band. I never feel like I'm the Sublime guy or whatever, but I do get to sing for the band and they asked me to be their front man. And that's a huge honor.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the idea of like learning that much music, you know, is just, it feels daunting.
It was a huge ask, man. It was very, very difficult. I'm never going to get all the lyrics right. It's like learning the lines for an acting gig.
Yeah. Like, bro, I gave up on that. I get close. I'm not going to nail it, you know, every time. I can't be expected to nail it every time.
I mean, and we haven't even talked about the solos yet, bro.
Yeah, man. I prefer to have my amazing guitar player Trey do most of the solos. He's such an amazing guitar player. I wouldn't want to take the spotlight from him.
Yeah.
Of course, but
of course, no. You're there to share the spotlight. You're a real diplomat. You're sharing the spotlight.
I'm a real diplomat. Yes,
I appreciate that about you.
Magnanimous.
Yeah, when we had speaking of Ableton, we had Justice, French DJ producers on a week or two ago, and they were talking about how this they played Coachella as well. They were saying how they started their tour with Coachella, and we were sort of laughing about it, like, don't you want to do some kind of warm-up gigs first before you do Coachella? And they're just like, no, like, if we're not ready for Coachella, then we're not ready at all. So like, people paid good money for this, you know, show number one should be as good as the last show.
It's true.
And I feel like this Coachella was kind of like Sublime's first big show with you, right?
Yeah. It was our first show ever with me.
Your first show ever, main stage at Coachella,
dude,
in your 20s, all the emotions of all of that tied up.
I know.
You can't smoke a cigarette and you really want to. I watched it at home and I was really proud of you. I was like, damn, this is so,
thank you.
On top of the difficulty of learning all these songs, playing guitar while you're singing, trying to emulate that voice that no one could ever emulate perfectly,
right?
Seeing, you know, people as far as the horizon eye line goes, just tens and tens of thousands of people.
Yeah.
And you nailed it. And I was like, damn,
that's really good to hear, man. Thank you. I was proud of the show we put on, although it can always be better and it will continue to get better. But just echoing the sentiment that your friends were talking about, it is true. In a lot of ways, I'm glad we got this biggest one out of the way, because now kind of the sky's the limit and you can breathe a little bit of that sigh of relief. But
yeah,
it was a fun experience and I'm very stoked about it, but it is very emotionally draining to perform these songs. It isn't just, I'm very happy and grateful for all the exposure. It is very much welcomed, but it comes at a price, you know. It just, and I'm not complaining about it, but this is more to the people listening out there. You know, it's not easy to portray the role of a family member like that on stage. It's very taxing and draining, and that you're constantly, the weight of every single, you know, soulless Redditor is on your shoulders, because they might be upset if, heaven forbid, they didn't enjoy you didn't think your guitar solo was perfect or something.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they have the right to have any whatever opinion. But I try not to. I don't really care about you. Everybody's opinion of you is their own business, and they're allowed to love it or hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But tell you the truth, you know, being up there on that stage, I was just like, God damn, when is this going to be over? No, I was having fun. But part of me was just, I got so fucking stoked. Are we allowed to swear on this podcast?
Of course. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, do whatever you want.
Yeah, I just, when I got to that second to last song, I was just like, thank God it's all so.
How long was the set? How long was the set?
It's only 50 minutes. It's like only 50 minutes.
Well, that's a long 50 minutes. But to me, it sounds like when like how people might describe like getting married or a wedding. Like,
yeah,
it's an amazing, joyful, awesome experience, but you kind of can't wait for it to be done, because you can't wait to feel, like, you know what it's going to feel like when you're finally done and you walk off stage and your friend hands you a water or whatever, and
yeah,
you know, you're just like, wow, that's like how good that is going to feel. And that's sort of the only, you're sort of chasing that hopeful feeling.
Exactly. I just wanted to complete it and do it good, you know. There isn't a whole lot of time, and I imagine it'd be very different playing my own material up there, but for this is more like I have to do this first in a lot of ways, because I want to pay respect and homage to, I don't even know if I'd be in this line of work if it wasn't
Family
Biz. So
for sure.
I'm very, very happy to be here.
For sure. Was your mom there and everybody, like, was everybody in the crowd?
Yeah, I think so. My mom was there the first week.
Oh yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. She didn't. She's like, I can't do two.
Your mom's
sweetheart.
Like, well, I mean, nobody goes to week two. Nobody goes to week two. But I love you, but you know, I'm not doing week two.
I think my mom's about to be here at my house. She just shows up randomly.
That's cool.
She's texted me.
Just not. She does she knock or does she have a key?
She doesn't have a key, so she's forced to knock.
Smart. Let's keep. That's good for you and your kind of your mental health, I'm sure.
Yeah, this is my temple. Yeah.
It's my
you mentioned a proficiency in Ableton. Are you into electronic music as well, or are there going to be any DJ Noel sets at the after party on tour this summer, anything like that that we should know about?
Yes. I am proficient in the exquisite art of Ableton, and more than proficient in Tiger Crane. I'm trying to quote Kill Bill and I'm failing. More than proficient in the exquisite art of the samurai sword. So I definitely, for Jacob's Castle, it's me up there with my guitar and my funny metal boxes and singing. And then I have the computer up there with me on top of CastleBot 5000. He's my in-house DJ and bass player. I hook CastleBot's this giant metal console with a TV in it, and my computer's hooked up to him, and my interface send out all the backing tracks. So,
oh wow,
yeah, and in a lot of ways, I'm the DJ of my band as well. So I would love to definitely do some DJ sets. It sounds awesome.
Okay, all right. And if you were to DJ, let's say like you just got booked, just, you know, it's not an after party or anything, but you know, they just said, hey, Jacob, we want you to DJ this club or this party or whatever. What are you going to play?
Oh, and I can just play whatever I want?
Mm-hmm. It's up to you.
If I could play, I would probably do a lot of like 100 Gex and Machine Girl, but like mashed up with early 2000s bangers, the club bangers and stuff. Like, she hit the floor, she hit the floor. So we got low. That's okay. That would be the vibe. Early 2000s club bangers mixed with like aggressive, noisy, electronic, hyper pop kind of stuff.
Gex meets Flo Rida. That is what you're describing.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to be clear.
It's like, it'll be like She Move Her Body Like a Cyclone, but it's like pitched up a bunch.
Okay.
And it's like Nightcore version.
Okay.
Nightcore Cyclone. That's the vibe.
Okay.
And definitely be like a Nightcore DJ for sure.
I forgot about She Move Her Body Like a Cyclone. I slept on one.
Jason, did you play that out in its heyday, or was that not on your Serato?
I think, I'm sure that was played by me at some point in the club.
I
think that, I mean, obviously you do not need another job right now, but you know, if you ever want to book a little summer tour doing DJ sets, I think you could definitely do that. And I feel like there's a lot of like kind of hyper pop artists and producers who would like be interested to get in the studio with you and do some weird shit. You know?
Dude, I would absolutely
get some
love
AG
that.
Cook Sublime remixes.
Yeah, some AG Cook. Yeah, dude. That's a dream for sure with the PC music, 100%. And I did get to meet Dylan Brady at Coachella, and he was just the coolest dude ever. So, yeah, man, maybe the collab is coming before people know it.
You never know. You mentioned on stage Clowncore being your favorite set. Could you explain what exactly that is? I mean, I watched them as well, and I got a vibe, but
I don't know.
You know, to those who don't know.
I mean, I've been listening to them for quite a while. I always thought it was more like a meme kind of thing. Like it's kind of funny deconstruction. It's like noise, but mixed with like clown horn honk sounds. And it's very like, you know, the aesthetic and the whole joke of it is just as important as the music. You get the impression, but their set live was like life changing. Like the visuals they had behind the screen, they were like these basically like almost like motionless animatronic men basically in these very like horrific looking clown outfits, and they just played a mix of this crazy noisy hard style electronic music but mixed with these really beautiful and thought-provoking jazzy breakdowns with, you know, complicated drum syncopations and saxophone melodies. It was, but also very humorous throughout all of it. I think it was that right blend of humor and introspection that makes you kind of like be like, wow, this is deep, but also life is meaningless in the funnest, best possible way. Mm. It was the best set of the both weekends, and I had to shout them out on our set.
I didn't know. I'm sorry, what are they called again?
Clown Core.
So one of the Kardashians is in it or no?
Maybe. Well, so see, that's the beauty is that no one knows just exactly the two Clown Core boys are. That could be anybody.
So it could be Courtney and Kim for all we know.
It could be Courtney and Kim, or it could be the two guys from the garden for all we know. It's completely unknown.
But it's interesting to name your band like that because it sounds like you're just naming a genre.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's confusing, which I'm sure is the point based on what you just explained to us. But that's a real choice. I can't think of anyone else who's ever done that.
I know it's very funny and subversive.
I'm on the Clowncore website. The background image of their front page of clowncore.computer is a picture of a guy peeing blood onto a fence, and then you could listen to the music, watch videos. Buy merch, and then there's a section that says "Give us money," and it's just a button where you can give them money.
Oh my god! Yeah,
it sounds all that pretty
stuff.
Sick.
All that stuff was on their backdrop live, bro. They literally took like a 5-minute interlude where they just played. They turned around and just played music via their tracks, and it was just a big picture of their PayPal like pay screen that you could like scan.
Okay. QR.
Okay.
I think I might be in on this now. That's fucking funny. Putting your PayPal.
Yeah,
like your PayPal fucking QR code on stage at Coachella is really funny.
Oh, so good,
it's
right?
Really, really funny.
Yeah,
Jacob, so I'm getting the feeling that you personally yourself know who is in Clowncore, but you just don't want to say.
I have my own theories.
Okay,
I definitely do have my own theories.
Do we think it's people? Is it known in your estimation? Is it people that are already known and it would surprise us, or it's just like unknown people making music?
For me, I think it's either probably two very talented jazz musicians from different scenes, or it's the two dudes from the garden. That's my bet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if I'm right, and see that's how you know it's not anybody that I know, because if it were, I'd be much more guarded. I want to find it out. And I know it's like,
yeah,
I don't want to be a, you know, yeah,
you're searching.
I don't want to be a buster and like ruin the surprise. But at the same time, mysteries are meant to be solved, man. And I want it to be out. Who is it? And so if I got it right, people heard it here first. And there's evidence.
Do you think that they're going to eventually unmask, you know, and have a reveal? They have to.
I don't think they will, man. I think it's kind of like, I don't know. Good question.
Interesting. I mean, look, I just feel like eventually you're leaving money on the table by being in disguises, but maybe
tell that to Blue Man Group, bro.
Yeah, Blue Man Group, true.
Yeah, but the thing about Blue Man Group, which is, I actually have a friend who was a drummer in Blue Man Group, and you know, they just switch. It can be anybody. You can just switch them out, so it's a rotating cast because their bodies get destroyed. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which is that is the coolest feature. You can have 12 guys rotating, and everybody feels fresh when they're painted blue.
True.
All right, Jacob. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. We're going to let you hang out with your mom in the LBC now. And we are going to stay on you and make sure that you do run for office and eventually governor.
Yeah.
Yes, my first constituents. Let's go.
Here, 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 here. You have our support, brother.
Is you is or is you ain't my constituency.
Yeah, you have our full support.
Is you is or is you ain't.
You have our full support.
You guys rock, man. This has been such a fun podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Jacob's Castle on tour this summer, all over the place. If you're in Orlando this weekend, go check them out. And if you want to watch Sublime on Coachella, it's on YouTube.
Yes, Jacob's Castle show's coming to you. Sublime show's coming to you. New Jacob's Castle song, new Sublime stuff. We love you guys. Southern California culture forever, 1,000 years. We will blot out the sun with our chillness. We love you guys so much. Thank you.